We're just going to have our shortened divine office. We're going to ask for you to pray with us for the Holy Father's monthly intentions. And then we'll have a nice time of powerful prayer. All right, here we are. Back again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We always aim for a little bit, about under half an hour for this podcast. Let us pray that we might discern again how... We might learn again how to discern, to know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the Gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Thank you for all the good that you're still doing through our programs, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't feel it sometimes. Alright. So I pray that these diary paragraphs will be helpful to us. St. Faustina writes, I tremble to think that I will have to give an account of my tongue. There is life, but there is also death in the tongue. Sometimes we kill with the tongue, we commit real murders, and we are still to regard that as a small thing. I truly do not understand such consciences. I have known a person who, when she learned from someone that a certain thing was being said about her, fell seriously ill. She lost a good deal of blood and shed many tears, and the outcome was very sad. It was not the sword that did this, but the tongue. O my silent Jesus, have mercy on us. I have wandered onto the subject of silence, but this is not what I wanted to speak about, but rather about the soul's life with God and about its response to grace. When a soul has been cleansed and the Lord is on intimate terms with it, it begins to apply all its inner force in striving after God. Yet the soul cannot do anything of itself. God alone arranges everything. The soul knows this and is mindful of it. It is still in exile and understands well that there may yet come cloudy and rainy days, but it must look up now upon things differently from what it had up to now. It does not seek reassurance in a false peace, but makes ready for battle. It knows it comes from a warrior race. It is much more aware of everything. It knows that it is of royal stock. It is concerned with all that is great and holy. There is a series of graces which God pours into the soul after these trials by fire. The soul enjoys intimate union with God. It has many visions, both corporal and intellectual. It hears many supernatural words and sometimes distinct orders. But despite these graces, it is not self-sufficient. In fact, it is even less so as a result of God's graces. Because it is now open to many dangers and can easily fall prey to illusions, it ought to ask God for a spiritual director. But not only must it pray for one, it must also make every effort to find a leader who is an expert in these things. Just as a military leader must know the ways along which he will lead his followers into battle. A soul that is united with God must be prepared for great and hard-fought battles. After these purifications and tears, God abides in the soul in a special way. But the soul does not always cooperate with these graces. Not that the soul itself is not willing to work, but it encounters so many interior and external difficulties that it really takes a miracle to sustain the soul on these summits. In this, it absolutely needs a director. People often have sown doubt in my soul. And I myself have sometimes become frightened at the thought that I was, after all, an ignorant person, and I did not have knowledge of many things. After all, above all spiritual things, But when my doubts increased, I sought light from my confessor or my superiors, yet I did not obtain what I desired. When I opened myself to my superiors, one of them, probably Father Mother Michael or Mother Mary Joseph, understood my soul and the world God intended for me. When I followed her advice, I made quick progress toward perfection, but this did not last long. When I opened up my soul still more deeply, I did not obtain what I desired. It seemed to my superior that these graces of which I was the object were unlikely, and so I could not draw any further help from her. She told me it was impossible that God should commune with his creatures in such a way. I fear for you, sister. Isn't this an illusion of some sort? You'd better go and seek the advice of a priest. But the confessor did not understand me and said, you'd better go, sister, and talk about these matters with your superiors. And so I would go from the superiors to the confessor, and from the confessor to the superiors, and I found no peace. These divine graces became a great suffering for me. And more than once I said to the Lord directly, Jesus, I am afraid of you. Could you not be some kind of ghost? Jesus always reassured me, but I still continued to be incredulous. It is a great thing, however, the more I became incredulous, the more Jesus gave me proofs that these things came from him. And when I saw that my mind was not being set at rest by my superiors, I decided to say nothing to them of these surely interior matters. Externally, I tried, as a good nun should, to tell everything to my superiors, but as for the needs of my soul, I spoke about these only in the confessional. And that's where we were, that is where we, that leads up to where we read yesterday. I've been a little bit reading out of order. But wow, I could really, really relate to that. Let's pray the shortened form of the divine office. But yes, I can really relate to some of the decisions that I've made. And sometimes I struggled because I wondered what was socially acceptable. Like, what types of advice can you get from a priest? Can you ask him about what you think you should do with your life? And in hindsight, because church was such a big part of my life and such a big part of how I formed my own kind of philosophy of living, I should have, but I didn't at key moments. I didn't. And, you know, we didn't know what was right, what was wrong. We didn't know what people expected. She is, of course, had a really frustrating situation going back and forth because the superior understands that she's called to something special. Faustina is called to a special level of holiness. And yet there's something about her charisma, about her particular mission that absolutely just threw the superior. And it could have been the prophecies. Maybe they didn't expect that. It could have been, like I said, that this was a very, very unusual kind of relationship that she had, you know, not just because of the visions, but because many people did not have a quote-unquote personal relationship with Jesus, and that's very much the driving, animating force of Faustina's kind of spiritual approach or spirituality, but we don't know. Let's pray the shortened form of the divine office now. So we have a wonderful optional memorial today, the optional memorial of St. Lawrence Brissendi. So I didn't even know about this saint today until I started reading. He's so powerful and so interesting, St. Lawrence Brissendi. In the first reading from St. Paul's letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul's going to speak intimately with the members of the congregation, presuming that they already know about a promised journey to visit the church community. St. Paul explains his change of plans while also referring to Jesus and catechizing about Jesus Christ. Second reading will be from the optional memorial of one of the, again, you didn't even hear about this guy, but he's actually one of the 37 doctors of the church. So he's someone who's singled out for extraordinary holiness and having a special wisdom to teach the church. A great man, a great preacher, someone who headed up the Capuchin branch of the Franciscan religious order at a key moment in history. Let's begin with Psalm 56. I have put my hope in God. I have no fear of man. Have mercy on me, God. Men crush me. They fight me all day long and oppress me. My foes crush me all day long, for many fight proudly against me. When I fear, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God alone I shall not fear. What can mortal man do to me? I have put my hope in God. I have no fear of man. All day long they distort my words. All their thought is to harm me. They band together in ambush, track me down and seek my life. Repay them, God, for their crimes. In your anger, cast down the peoples. I have put my hope in God. I have no fear of man. You have kept an account of my wanderings. You have kept a record of my tears. Are they not written in your book? Then my foes will be put to flight on the day that I call to you. I have put my hope in God. I have no fear of man. This I know, that God is on my side. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not fear. What can mortal man do to me? I am bound by the vows I have made you. O God, I will offer you praise. For you have rescued my soul from death. You kept my feet from stumbling, that I may walk in the presence of God and enjoy the light of the living. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, I ask you to renew the same Holy Spirit in me. Renew the Spirit in us. Renew your love in us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I put my hope in God, and I have no fear of man. A reading from the verse introducing the lesson is, to savor your words is my delight, O Lord. Honey itself is not sweeter. There's something to aspire to spiritually. A reading from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. Why Paul decided to change the plans for his journey. Confident as I am about this, I wanted to visit you first so that a double grace might be yours. I planned to visit you both on my way to Macedonia and on my return, that I might receive your help on my journey to Judea. Do you suppose that in making those plans I was acting insincerely, or that my plans are so determined by self-interest that I change my mind from one minute to the next? As God keeps his word, I declare that my word to you is not yes one minute and no the next. Jesus Christ, whom Silvanus, Timothy, and I preached to you as Son of God, was not alternatingly yes and no. He was never anything but yes. Whatever promises God has made have been fulfilled in him. Therefore, it is through him that we address our amen to God when we worship together. God is the one who firmly establishes us along with you in Christ. It is he who anointed us and has sealed us, thereby depositing the first payment, the Spirit, in our hearts. I call on God as my witness that it was out of consideration for you that I did not come to Corinth again. Domineering over your faith is not my purpose. I prefer to work with you toward your happiness. As regards faith, you are standing firm. I did decide, however, not to visit you again in painful circumstances. For if I cause you pain, who can make me happy again but the ones I grieved? I wrote as I did, so that when I come, I may not be saddened by those who should rejoice my heart. I know you all well enough to be convinced that my happiness is yours. That is why I wrote you in great sorrow and anguish, with copious tears, not to make you sad, but to help you realize the great love I bear you. If anyone has given offense, he has hurt not only me, but in some measure, to say no more, every one of you. The punishment already inflicted by the majority on such a one is enough. You should now relent and support him so that he may not be crushed by too great a weight of sorrow. I therefore beg you to reaffirm your love for him. The reason I wrote you was to test you and learn whether you are obedient in all matters. If you forgive a man anything, so do I. Any forgiving I have done has been for your sakes and before Christ, to prevent Satan, whose guile we know too well, from outwitting us. Powerful, powerful. 2 Corinthians is going to be so extraordinarily powerful as a letter. God firmly establishes us in Christ. He anointed us and sealed us. And as his pledge to us, he sent his Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The Lord our God made a covenant with us and spoke to us face to face. And as his pledge to us, he sent his Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Second reading from a sermon by St. Lawrence Brissendi. Priest. Preaching is an apostolic duty, is the caption the Church has chosen. There is a spiritual life that we share with the angels of heaven and with the divine spirits, for like them we have been formed in the image and likeness of God. The bread that is necessary for living this life is the grace of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. But grace and love are nothing without faith, since without faith it is impossible to please God, and faith is not conceived unless the word of God is preached. Faith comes through hearing, and what is heard is the word of Christ. The preaching of the word of God, then, is necessary for the spiritual life, just as the planting of seed is necessary for bodily life. Christ says, "The sower went out to sow his seed." The sower goes out as a herald of justice. On some occasions we read that the herald was God. For example, when with a living voice from heaven he gave the law of justice to a whole people in the desert. On other occasions the herald was an angel of the Lord, as when he accused the people of transgressing the divine law at Bochim in the place of weeping. At this, all the sons of Israel, when they heard the angel's address, became sorrowful in their hearts, lifted up their voices and wept bitterly. Then again, Moses preached the law of the Lord to the whole people on the plains of Moab, as we read in Deuteronomy. Finally, Christ came as God and man to preach the word of the Lord. For the same purpose, he sent the apostles, just as he sent the prophets before them. Preaching, therefore, is an apostolic, angelic, divine, Christian duty. The word of God is replete with manifold blessings, since it is, so to speak, a treasure of all goods. It is the source of faith, hope, charity, all virtues, all gifts, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the beatitudes of the gospel, all good works, all the rewards of life, all the glory of paradise. Welcome the word that has taken root in you with its power to save you. For the word of God is a light to the mind and a fire to the will. It enables man to know God and to love him. And for the interior man who lives by the Spirit of God, through grace, it is bread and water, but a bread sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. A water better than wine and milk, for the soul is a spiritual treasure of merits, yielding an abundance of good and precious stones. Against the hardness of a heart that persists in wrongdoing, it acts as a hammer. Against the world, the flesh, and the devil, it serves as a sword that destroys all sin. Responsory prayer. You who preach the good news to Zion, climb up to the top of a high mountain and proclaim to the cities of Judah, "Here is your God." Follow me, go and preach the kingdom of God and proclaim to the cities of Judah, "Here is your God." O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who, for the faith they profess are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the gospel. the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Why didn't that prayer mention St. Mark's? That's very unusual. I wonder if I have the wrong prayer. Again, I want to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me for the ways I'm so unfaithful to you. Have mercy on me for the ways that I continue to turn back toward the way I was before. There's so many things that can cause. This is the gospel I read for myself this morning as part of my personal prayer. It's right after Matthew's description of the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman's faith. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for the crowd, because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd? Jesus asked them, how many loaves have you? They said, 7, and a few small fish. Then ordering the crowds to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all of them ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Those who had eaten were 4,000 men, besides women and children. After sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magdalene. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Then he left them and went away. Gospel, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yep, I was correct. We had the wrong prayer, or rather the one that was for the day rather than for St. Lawrence of Brindisi. O God, who for the glory of your name and the salvation of souls bestowed on the priest St. Lawrence of Brindisi a spirit of counsel and fortitude, grant, we pray, that in the same spirit we may know what must be done and through his intercession bring it to completion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul in purgatory. Let's see if we can do just short intercessions after that blessing. For the soul, plenary indulgence, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not on Friday, we're on Monday. Man was created to glorify God through his deeds. Let us earnestly pray. May we give glory to your name, Lord. We bless you, creator of all things, for you have given us the goods of the earth and brought us to this day. Look with favor on us as we begin our daily work. Let us be fellow workers with you. May our work today benefit our brothers and sisters, that with them and for them we may build an earthly city pleasing to you. Grant joy and peace to us today and to all we meet this day. Grant us your help and your protection. We continue to pray for Bill's personal intentions. Pray him to be set free from anything in his subconscious that's causing him to feel anxiety and worry. Pray for focus on what we need to focus on. Focus on our studies, focus on our families, focus on our jobs. We pray for Henry's academic future and for him to find shelter and everything that he needs this summer. Praying for all the homeless people at St. Rita and Santa Cruz Park. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.